an old saying. Laws are like sausages. It's better not to see them being made. It's an old cliche to be sure, but there's something to be said about an important process that is sometimes unpleasant to watch. From the outside, voters are often perplexed by the legislative world. At times, they're left to speculate why some laws pass and some don't. Even lawmakers who are working on the inside can leave with less than satisfactory results. Certainly, party politics, competing interests, competing priorities play important roles. We see this in Washington all the time. But at the federal level, legislation moves at its own slow pace. In our state, with a part-time legislature and only 60 days to get work done, the process has its own rhythm and cadence at the start, but typically concludes with a frenetic ending. An ending that can leave you scratching your head and asking, what just happened? So, what's it like to work in the Florida legislature? How do members get their priorities and bills heard? How does a member's personal and professional backgrounds factor into the lawmaking process? On this podcast, we take a small peek into the Florida legislature by asking members to sit down for a brief conversation about who they are, where they're from, their priorities, and more importantly, what it means to be a lawmaker in our current environment. From Studio 67 in Tallahassee, I'm Eric Poole, and this is Capital Conversations. Representative Stevenson, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Eric.
Thank you for joining us on the second episode of our Capital Conversations podcast. This podcast is a production of our foundation, the Institute for County Government at FAC, and is supported by UFIFAS. So I always like to put in a plug for UFIFAS for all the work that they do for us. And as I mentioned, the goal of this podcast is to attempt to, what I say, demystify the legislative process. I think a lot of people, including people that live maybe within five blocks of the Capitol building, have very little idea of how things actually work in there, other than what they may see in the local newscast at 6 o'clock, their local newspaper. A lot of the news is not always that positive. And so what we wanted to do is begin talking to legislative members to get a better understanding of how it works. And we're starting with members who also originally served at the local level, at the county level. So you served in the St. John's County Commission for several years. So we wanted to start with you today. And with that, I'd like to open it up with just a little bit of biographical background. Just tell us kind of where you're from, your district, and a little bit about your professional and personal background.
Well, I thank you for this opportunity, Eric. My name is Cindy Stevenson. I was born and raised in Volusia County. I'm a certified public accountant, and my husband and I settled in St. John's County. I got involved in growth management issues, which led to a run in 2004 for the county commission. I served there for 11 years, and it was very interesting. I learned a lot about water and transportation and all the things that most people don't hear about the importance of what local government does. Small digression here. When I first got elected, even though I'm a CPA, my focus wasn't the budget, it was service issues. And somebody said to me, the county has a budget of $750 million, and all they do is give me water, and I pay for that. Where does all that money go? So I had to learn that, even though wasn't the reason I ran. After I learned all the things that we did, for a while, I was so hyper-vigilant about all the things we do, the road signs, the drainage, the roadways, the intersections, just many, many things, not to mention things that involve the court system and law enforcement, county jails. And I think that when government runs well, people don't hear much about it. We operate kind of quietly in the background, but it does seem that most of the time when we make the news, something has happened controversial, and the full scope of the work we do and all the things that are positive sometimes get lost in that, because maybe it's not really newsworthy, but citizens, especially people who come from other states, need to understand Florida and how we're different, how we do things in this county compared to another county. So I applaud your effort. It's really important. I grew up fishing and riding horses and enjoying Florida's great outdoors. So I really appreciate Florida's natural resources. I went to public schools. My kids went to public schools. And I guess I always want the opportunity that Florida represented to my family when they came here to be available for families that are coming here today. And I think that's something that most of us have in common, that we want to, you know, to enjoy Florida's natural resources. We want them to be there for the next generation and have people have a chance to earn a living, enjoy their life, raise their families, all that good stuff. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah. And that's a recurring theme. Anytime we speak with a member about that, the previous podcast, the representative said the exact same thing. He was drawn into county service based on environmental issues that he was concerned about, the growth management issues, similar to what yours are. And in St. John's, I love that community over there. My brother lives over in Ponte Vedra and commutes down to Cocoa to do work down there. But can you just talk about a little bit about your constituency? I don't know if your district covers anything outside of St. John's, but just your constituency, because we know that's been a very rapidly growing community in the whole United States.
So I when I was a county commissioner, it was all of St. John's County. Currently, I represent, I believe it's about 2/3 of the county population. And it's from the northern boundary. It goes along a creek and 95. It's kind of messy. So I have most of St. John's County, down to St. Augustine Beach on the island, to St. Augustine Shores, west of US 1, and I think it's along 214 when you get on the other side of 95. So it kind of runs along Moultrie Creek. So I don't have all of St. John's County because it's gotten too big to have one county commissioner. And in fact, in this current redistricting, it'll probably, my district will get a little smaller, I expect, because I think I'm the second largest district in the state by population. And as you know, we redraw the districts every 10 years based on the census. So, and they take the census number and divide it by 120, and to a very close to like one or two people, we'd redraw the district lines. And that's why sometimes cities and counties get districts change because it's growing. And so everybody will have a proportionate voice in the legislature. So I've Ponte Vedra, World Golf Village, the city of St. Augustine, West Augustine. I have terrific historic resources. I have some of the oldest communities in the state and some of the youngest and fastest growing. We're bordered by the Atlantic Ocean. In the middle, we have the intercoastal, and most of my western coast, well, for my district, all of the western boundary is the St. John's River. So we're very interested in water, and we like it to be in good quality and not in our houses. And we've had a couple of hurricanes recently. We've had some significant beach erosion, so we've been working on a lot of hard issues. And I think being a county commissioner first, I know who to call when I see a bill that that might affect somebody. I know the archaeologist and the floodplain manager. So being a county commissioner first has given me a unique perspective in the legislature. And I think it's good to have people that know local government here and in Tallahassee as well. So,
well, we feel that way. And we were, you know, excited, optimistic when you got elected to the House because you were very active with our association. And you always, I thought, brought your professional background as an accountant to a lot of our, some of our difficult meetings, whether it's finance and tax, but you always had that nice perspective. So you mentioned what drew you to public service at the county level. Now you're at the state. I'm going to ask a very basic question that I'm asking everyone is, what is it like to work in the Florida legislature? Or let me ask you this. You've been there several years. So what was it like your first year as compared to where you are today?
Well, I was very fortunate. I came in as a redshirt freshman, So I watched, I came in the middle of session after committee weeks and got to see how this, the process ended. And I had not been a close watcher of the legislature and legislative process. I probably knew the it's only a bill from Schoolhouse Rock. I knew a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I had testified, I think I met you all testifying on a local government issue. As a really new commissioner, I don't even remember how I found out about the hearing, but I showed up and testified on an impact fee bill. And it is, I was glad I saw the middle and the end, but I think the questions I get, and I probably felt the same way when I was before I was in the legislature, is you see a bill is filed and you're upset about it because this bill has been filed. Well, there's 120 members in the House and they all get to file six bills. And the fact that they filed a bill doesn't mean that anybody likes it except for them. And that thousands of bills are filed, but a lot of them do not get through. I don't know if it's one tenth or something like that, make it to the end. I think it seems really confusing and a little, it was a little scary to file a bill to me in the beginning because I saw bills become start as something small and become very big trains with all these things attached to it. Not all things that maybe you would want. So I think the first year is really a learning process, but there's always people around to help you learn the process. Other members, staff, former members, interest groups that you might know, like Florida Association of Counties. I certainly call on the Florida Association of Counties. I've called you on a couple of things this year. and you start to learn that there's associations for a lot of things, like property tax appraisers, and not just schools and school boards, but school board superintendents. It's pretty amazing. If anybody, I don't know who will listen to this broadcast, but for people in local government, county government especially, I thought the emergency operations center, when we're responding to a hurricane, you could really see all the parts of government and how they could work in an emergency and communicate. It was a chance to kind of really see, you know, county and state government working together. At the state level, we have the Department of Emergency Management. So we have that same kind of setup. So both in the pandemic and in the hurricane events, you start to learn that same, there's those same kind of those organizations, the nurses organizations, the doctors organizations, the hospital associations, and all those other, the roads and the drainage and the law enforcement, they have a seat at the table too and can help communicate into their constituencies. I know that I'm a little off topic, but I think it's really interesting to see the connectivity and how government and non-governmental organizations work together for the people of Florida, and that the associations aren't just lobby groups. They also work for their members and can make a contribution towards public safety in an emergency and in ways that none of us may have even anticipated. So I think, I've taken you for far afield. I'll let you
know. I think it's the local EOC is a really good analogy on how those disparate pieces come together when they need to come together and they function well. And it's almost as if you're saying, you know, at the state level, you have sort of similar disparate pieces that in order to make legislation and policy work, you got to kind of begin to work together with the different interest group, whether it's us or the private sector, state agencies, what have you. That absolutely makes sense. So with respect to, you know, how it works in the legislature, how do you communicate what you just articulated to your constituency? In other words, they're going to ask a question like, well, why isn't this bill being heard. You have filed it 3 years in a row. We've asked you to file it. It's very important for our community. And yet over on the other side, this, what we believe is a silly bill, does nothing for anybody anywhere. It just passed on its first hearing. So how do you communicate that based on what you've learned of all the mechanics that operate at the Capitol?
Sometimes some things we don't understand. You know, there's certain mysteries that the Capitol keeps, I guess. I think that I try to put some things in my newsletter. I do try to communicate to people who are willing to receive information, but I am starting to do some podcasts myself, trying to talk about how people can get information about bills and where they can see the actual proceedings. It's pretty accessible on some of the websites like myfloridahouse.gov and teach people how to use it. Sometimes I can direct people to a segment of a hearing so they start to understand the different interest groups that have a concern. I thought as a county commissioner, we did things like we changed some rules about how you take care of dogs because we had some dog fighting issues in our county, and how you do that without hurting legitimate interest, you know, how you get the objective achieved without infringing on other people's enjoyment of their animals. It's not easy, but when you do it in Tallahassee, it's 67 times, at least 67 times more difficult, because our communities are all different. So one size just doesn't fit every place. And I do see people sometimes come to Tallahassee and they know what's happening in their community, and they try to make that the right answer for the whole state. And that causes some friction. And sometimes one of the things I thought was an advantage for me coming to Tallahassee was, you don't know everything, but you did get a sense of the disparity of issues between different counties. It is an incredible gift to hear the elected representatives of other parts of the state come and talk about what's facing their community, what the most serious issues are. I live in the northeast part of Florida. So a couple years ago, across the breakfast table from another member, I heard about their sunny day flooding issues. They were much further along. They were much more pervasive and further along on that than I ever dreamed. So it's a great privilege to be serving in the legislature. And I think that it really helps when you're able to receive information from different people and try to make good policy. And sometimes things that we think should happen immediately that are no-brainers, sometimes it takes several years for everybody to get lined up. But in some cases, taking your time is good because it takes a while to sort things out.
So. But what can you do if you've got a bill that's not controversial? You've carried it for a couple of years. Do you ever get a chance to speak to leadership and say, please, can we? You know, this is does that happen?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The most important work in the legislature happens, I say, between the doors, not on the floor. Yeah. And important issues. I have one this year. My county's like five times the size it was when it got a new judge. And we're having trouble with that. We don't fit the formula. I'm trying to understand why. So I'll meet with staff, with leadership, with committee chairs, with members on. And if I get to be before a committee, immediately you want to go to anybody you think might have opposition to it and help them see your point of view, understand their concerns. And a lot of times bills are filed and they get better during the process. It takes a lot of work. I think it's good. And sometimes the doors just aren't going to open. One of the things with the way the state legislature's leadership changes every 2 years, it kind of changes the whole complexion of the legislature, the House leadership, the Senate leadership, the committee chairs that are assigned. It changes things. And so there's a constant education process, constant effort at consensus building, raising awareness of your issues. You may get to do it all over again. I think it's like a small town. My dad used to say, don't burn your bridges. You don't know which ones you might need to cross again. Just like most anybody, I think legislators, county commissioners aren't easily persuaded by people saying, you're an idiot, just direct insults. I'm always interested in sharing information about a bill because I think a lot of times in the general public, they know a little bit about the bill, but not all of it. They'll hear, part of it maybe from an interest group. And sometimes when people understand the full bill or the bill as it's currently amended, it becomes more, they may not like it, but they may like it. Maybe they'll dislike it less.
Right.
I know in local government, I see a lot of times frustration because I want something to be different and I can make it different in my corner of the world. And to other people, they're looking at the state and they're thinking how fragmented the rules are getting. And so there's this local, well, then why don't you do something about it? There's kind of this constant push and pull, which is you live there with things like some of the preemptions that come down. I never understood that quite as well when I was in local government because my county didn't do a lot of really aggressive bills that regulated commerce. We were pretty much stuck to growth management and the kind of basic things. But sometimes it's hard, and I think they move because we're slow. And then sometimes I'll get people and I'll go, well, rather than go county by county, why don't we get together and say, what's a good rule for this for the whole state? And I can't always get traction on that. I would say there, and I won't go into details, but there are some things that I think should pass. The state won't accept fragmentation, but I have a hard time getting the interest groups together on, well, what would make a good, doing nothing isn't okay. Having 60 or 50 or 40 different rules isn't working out so well. So can we do something statewide? And that we get frustrations on that too, where we're trying to build the consensus. It's harder to build it. So.
Well, Representative, let's talk about your priorities this year. I want to hear what you're pushing and promoting, and let's talk a little bit about your agenda.
I'm trying to get a new county judge for St. John's County, which we haven't had one. I mean, we're like, many times bigger than we used to be. So that's a little very local thing. I have a bill on that I carried for several years on voter privacy that I think I've done it three times. And I think this year, part of the provisions of the bill would have protected the governor from having his address changed because by having right now, the voter rolls actually since 2004 have been public record. And that includes your tax ID, your voter ID number, party affiliation, date of birth, your email address, and your cell phone number. And so I've tried to get parts of that protected. A couple of years ago, maybe two sessions ago, I got the minors, the pre-registered voters information out of the public record. This year, I'm going to try to get the phone numbers and email address and voter ID, maybe date of birth out of the record and see if it sounds silly, but it's really not because people say that's all public record anyway. But
who do you have supporting you on that?
The clerks of court are not the clerks of court, the supervisors of elections. This has been their number one priority. Okay. They said they've had people remove themselves from the voter registration in order to protect their privacy. People used to not want to register to vote because they didn't want to be in the jury, right. Do jury duty. When the law changed, I got complaints. People would mass publish it. They got onto the internet. They got more solicitations. So both in 2004 and when we added the 16 to 18 year olds to the public record, I got complaints about it. So I knew it was something that affected individuals. So the clerks of courts benefit by having the email address and phone number, because if there's a absentee ballot that needs to be cured, they use that to contact the voters. So I'm hoping this year may be my year, 3 years, maybe that's it. I've got a bill to fix a loophole that is in the consumer finance area that exploits people and results in the loss of their car. So I'm trying to get that loophole closed. We have some nursing schools in the state that have a very high first-time pass rate requirement on them. And in the pandemic, that's become a big problem. And we don't want those schools to lose their license because most of their students are passing on the second time, you know, within a year of graduation. And we need those good nurses. So we're trying to get that cured so we can keep the supply of nurses up for the state of Florida. And I have a bill on unlicensed contractor activity. I'm trying to tighten up on that. And a telehealth bill that would allow phone consultations to be part of telehealth services. And that's some of my bills this year. I've got the member bills where you're trying to get things funded, of course, like everybody else. And I have some damaged speeches and things like that. But those are kind of the larger statewide issues. I'm really enjoying the committee I'm chairing. Technology and government, really state administration. So I'm working with the Department of Financial Services and Department of Management Services, which is kind of the back office support for a lot of things that are important to the people of Florida and the provision of services. So
I have not been following that subcommittee. I'm very happy to see that you get to chair that this year. And before we started, we had just talked about, I threw out the term rural broadband. I don't know if that's sort of within your wheelhouse or whether y'all are going to look at that this year.
You know, I've seen the rural broadband. I'm also on ag and natural resources, but I've seen the natural broadband. I think it's in the government and in my government appropriations. I'm not sure, not 100%. It may be. I'm on government operations. I'm on a lot of government committees this year, but I know that's very popular and important in the state. And a little part of St. John's County had internet access issues. And it's so important, now, as we've seen in the shutdown, it's getting to where you can't even shop there's some product access that you just can't go to a retail store, even if you're willing to drive 30, 40 minutes. So the internet has become part of our everyday life and important part of our infrastructure. So I think that'll be a good, I think that we'll have good result for that this year. You know, the state budget is not doing very well. We're going to do the best we can. And then there's the wild card of federal funding that might help with some of the projects we're trying to move along. I know that they've expressed a strong interest in the broadband, and we continue to work the pandemic, and you know, it's affected just like it's affected every household. It's affecting us and our committee. The way everything operates up here as well. So,
well, I promised you 20 minutes. I didn't want to keep you too long, but I do like to end these podcasts with before you hit the finish line. Is, you know, what would you say are your most proud accomplishments in the past several years of the state legislature? You can pick one or two. I just like to hear. And I know you've worked on a lot of things, but on a personal level that you've worked really hard for and saw get to the end.
Well, one of the things I've worked really hard on is access to mental health services. And I do have a bill this year about helping people resolve issues with when they're having trouble through their insurer getting access to care. So last year I had I got my first episode psychosis bill and some suicide prevention things in. I love to fix problems. I was able to get some reforms, some consumer protection reforms for people in continuing care facilities, which I have three or four in my community. We've done some really good reform to help kids get into permanent homes. So I think access to services that people need to get their life back on track. It's not something I ever thought I'd be working on, but I was on the Children and Families Committee. And when you talk about opportunity, disability, a family member who's having mental health or substance abuse problems, and rearing children, and this can be very disruptive for families. And I think that's one of the causes of things that will hold people back for a generation or two as they kind of get back to even. So that's an unexpected thing that I've been really enjoyed working on. We make decisions that affect people, places, and prosperity, and they all matter. And so I think the thing that surprised me the most is that, how we get people back on track when their lives take a detour. So.
Well, Representative, I've always loved your passion, and just hearing what you've just said really goes back to my, original comment that a lot of people don't know what happens at the state legislature. But clearly, what you're talking about can have an impact on people's lives statewide, and it may not get noticed by anybody but yourself, and that's what you get to carry with you. But so I want to thank you for coming on the second podcast. I certainly miss working with you when you were a county commissioner. I've really enjoyed it. But I wish you all the luck this legislative session. And if there's anything that Association of Counties can do for you, please don't hesitate to call.
And likewise, keep me up, and we'll keep trying to take care of Florida's counties. You're really important to all the people in Florida. Yeah. Thank you, Eric.
All right. Thank you.